Well, Todd, I can't tell you how excited I am about the replay of the Black Cat's jump on several levels. One, just being an archivist at heart. Two, to bring all this good music out with all the wisdom of Bobby Bryan. I'd like to start by having you tell us a little about Bobby. There are plenty of folks. He's been gone now for a while, and there are plenty of folks that I'm sure don't even know his role up here. Could you enlighten us a little
bit? Well, Bobby was the jazz programmer at this station in the 80s, late 70s, early 80s, and on into the early 90s. And Bobby had been a touring big band musician. He knew the business. He knew so many great stories about everything. But he was really a lover of the music and of the history. And I got a lot of my own love for the history of the music and knowing the stories from listening to Bobby Bryan all the time. I was a high school kid when the Black Cat's Jump aired the first time in 1980. I was a junior in high school and at Paris, Tennessee, Henry County High School, and had my own little band together. And Bobby even came down and sat in on a couple of rehearsals of my own little band and offered, criticism and stuff like that. And he was, amazed that, a kid at this point in time was trying to do something like that.
No kidding.
But, yeah, that was the beginnings of my own group. And Bobby was always supportive of that when I was in college. I'd see him at all the jazz concerts and stuff like that. He and Terry were very active in the community doing stuff like that. But one of the absolute pinnacles to me was the airing of the Black Cat's Jump. And, I was sitting at home with my cassette recorder and capturing off air, all this information and all these great bands playing. And, of course, the thing is now the restorations that are available to us in digital format are so far superior to the restorations audio-wise that were on recordings at that time.
And those would have been LPs.
Those were 33 and a third LPs, right. And in typical of the era, they tried to make them sound modern. They put all this nice wash of reverb on them, and they toned down all of the upper-level sounds to get rid of every little bit of hiss. But the problem was, when you got rid of that hiss, you also got rid of the cymbals, you got rid of the guitar, you got rid of all the overtones off the saxes, you got rid of all the bite in the trumpets. So you were left with this very flat, dead-sounding music. And going back to the original 78 RPM masters, as the companies are doing now, going back to the metal master parts and doing restorations from there, you have a completely different sound. And there will be such a greater immediacy to the sound. I know as Mark and I have been working on this project for almost a year now, I get tickled watching Mark react to what the music sounds like. And he's like, I can't believe that sounds that good. So I think if anybody's scared that they're going to be listening to the show and it's going to be all these, old recordings you really can't hear a lot, you're going to be shocked at how good this stuff sounds. The series sounds better than it did when it was originally aired.
Yeah.
Because of that. We've been able to keep all of Bobby's VOs, all of his voiceovers, all the stories. The formatting is just the same as it was. And the only thing that's really new is the much better, vastly superior sounding remasters of the music by Jimmy Lunsford, Duke Ellington, Chick Webb, Ella Fitzgerald. It's an incredible experience, and I hope everybody will join that.
Were there any special problems or hurdles you had to overcome in putting this together?
Oh, absolutely. A lot of the problems we were dealing with was dealing with voiceovers that were recorded 34 years ago, 33, 34 years now. And some of those had deteriorated quite badly on tape before they were transferred to a digital format, the old digital format, digital audio tape, sometime in the early 1990s. And the digital audio tapes had somewhat deteriorated. So we've had to do some splicing work. We've had to go back to cassette masters in some cases, excise a sentence or two with the good nature of Justin Patton, who is with CTLT and also works with the music department on recording stuff, getting in the recording studio and then taking those patched up versions and getting Bobby's voice to sound clear and crisp on them.
Mm-hmm.
We've been able to do that, and I've been amazed at what we've been able to manage. Really and truly amazed. Modern technology has saved this series from going away forever.
How much time, say, would it take to do, like, one episode?
One-hour episode would take about 2 hours to transfer from the digital audio tape to the modern digital format. And then for each of those episodes, usually we're talking 15, 16 selections that I'm either going out online and researching or getting in my own collection and researching and finding the modern digital transfer for that. In some cases, you know, actually writing to people that I knew that might have access to something that wouldn't be public access. Getting those things and then putting that together, then Mark and I would spend about 2 hours on each show putting it back together in the modern format. So probably each episode is between 6 and 12 hours of work that's been done on them. Plus, I was going back with Bobby's original scripts and making sure that everything lined up the right way. And you know, the fact that Terry had those saved for us was really a lifesaver. And also the cassette recordings, because sometimes we had to rely on them.
And this program was syndicated to other radio stations.
Yes,
at the time. I remember I was vacationing in Northern Ontario one time and picked up a station out of public station out of Michigan.
Wow.
And was listening to the Black Cats Jump. And I kept saying, that voice sounds kind of familiar. And then they come out at the end and say, you know, produced by WKMS at Murray State. And I'm going, wow.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think at the time that thing got syndicated to about, you know, between a fifth and a third of all the NPR stations that were around at that time. So it was a really huge deal for Murray State and for WKMS and, of course, for Bobby as well.
Well, again, we're just so pleased that this has finally come to fruition and all the great volunteer work that you've done.
Well, I've felt very honored, as has Mark, who was the original producer on that series, did all the sound engineer stuff.
Yeah.
And for Mark, it's been a real trip down memory lane, because he'll get tickled at something Bobby says on there. And, you know, the thing is this, George, I am a scholar of that era. I wasn't alive then. I know the stories. I've read the books. I've read everything, you know, available. Bobby lived it. He saw these bands live. When he's describing what the Lunsford band looked like, he's describing it from his own memories. When he's talking about Johnny Hodges on stage at the Orpheum Theater in Minneapolis, and he says that blue spotlight hit him and those diamond rings just shot. You know, it is such a poetic thing to hear someone who actually saw all of that and experienced it firsthand to hear their recollections. It's one of those great things about public radio that we are able to hear these things, that these things have been preserved.
Thank you so much.
Sure enough.